Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tomorrow's a WRAL weather alert day, and new this morning, we have a level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms. That's bumped up from what we saw yesterday, and a new wind advisory as well. I'll show you what the difference is and what you can expect where you are at what time.
And breaking news here at 8 o'clock, tracking some big delays on I-40 in Raleigh and a new crash in the past few minutes in Hillsboro. We'll talk about alternate routes coming up.
A serious shooting in the northwest part of the city.
And tomorrow, severe weather threat could lead to widespread power outages. What Duke Energy crews are doing to minimize the storm's impact. We have all of that to get your Monday morning ready. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, thanks for making us part of your day here as we get things rolling. It is with a look towards tomorrow, yeah, weather-wise. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with that weather alert day on tap.
Yeah, what's new this morning is we have a level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms. This time yesterday, it was a level 2 risk south and east of the Triangle area. So we're looking at that potential for tornadoes bumping up a little bit. It's a level 1 risk in our northwestern counties. The farther south you go, that chance of tornadoes bumps up. The timeline for this is going to be 7 to 11 p.m. tomorrow night. And the wind advisory starts at 10 a.m. We could start to see some winds gusting up to 45 miles per hour as we get through the day tomorrow. That could cause some isolated power outages, but the best chance of damage is going to be with that line of thunderstorms that comes through during the evening. We're going to wake up to some rain tomorrow morning. Those showers will be with us on and off through the first part of the day. We may get a little break closer to lunchtime, and then we start to see some scattered storms, possibly around 3 o'clock out ahead of the main line of thunderstorms. This is where the best chance of tornadoes or damage would be. This version that just came out, this is a brand new run of the computer models here at 8 a.m., a little bit faster than it was. So at 5 o'clock, this is approaching us, already having really moving through Greensboro. At 7 o'clock, it's moving into the viewing area. By 8:30, we're looking at that pushing past the Triangle area and then out of the viewing area by around 10 or 11. So the timeline has moved up by maybe an hour or so. So we'll call it 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Probably going to be our window of when we'll have the best chance of seeing those strong to severe storms. Right now we're taking a live look at Durham. Pretty cloudy out there currently. Our temperature 34, so it's a chilly start this morning. It's 33 in Clinton and in Fayetteville, 32 in Rocky Mount, 27 in Roxborough, 25 down in Southern Pines now. We'll see some high thin cloud cover today with a high of 51. It may feel a little bit cooler than that with our wind chill. I'll walk you through that coming up in just a little bit, Brian.
It is 8:02, almost 8:03 right now. We've been watching a couple of crashes out on I-40 westbound on the south side of Raleigh. One reported around the Hammond Road area, another on the camera here at Gorman Street in the median, and an earlier crash between Avon Ferry Road and US 1. It looks like that crash has cleared in the past few minutes, and we're starting to see conditions improving a little bit, about a 12-minute delay showing up on 40 westbound between 440 and US 1. As we take a look at the map right now, the backups begin around Hammond Road through the South Saunders Street interchange. Then it really eases up by the time you get to Gorman Street. So if you can pick up 40 westbound from Gorman Street, maybe from Tryon Road, that should save you a little bit of time this morning. All new here at 8:03, a crash between Eflin and Hillsboro on 85 northbound at the I-40 split. You can see some building delays there coming in from Eflin before you get to that 70 connector between I-85 and US 70. Measuring it from Mebane out to the I-85, I-40 split there in Hillsboro, you're looking at about a 23-minute delay. It's a good morning to consider using 70 as a good alternate. In the RTP area, an earlier crash getting cleared right now there on the east side of Durham, Miami Boulevard at TW Alexander Drive. Major routes of Durham are looking okay this morning. An earlier crash in Raleigh on Lewisburg Road at Fox Road has cleared, but we're still seeing some lingering delays on southbound Lewisburg Road coming in from Rollsville back toward 540 and also out of Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard, a little bit of a slowdown. A little bit of a backup also on 440 westbound between 87 and Capitol Boulevard. Then it clears up nicely as you head toward Glenwood Avenue. And right now, your other major approaches into Raleigh are in fairly good shape. Of course, we're going to be watching that situation out in Hillsboro and all those other backups. If you're getting ready to head out to work or school right now, head to the car and listen to us on the radio live at 99.3 FM in Raleigh and 96.5 FM in Durham.
Thanks, Brian. And with that WRAL weather alert day tomorrow, strong winds could cause power outages. Duke Energy crews are already working to try to keep the impact to a minimum. WRAL's Laura Levine is here to explain how crews are meeting the challenges ahead of tomorrow's weather. Laura.
Officials with Duke Energy plan to meet here throughout the day with their storm team as they discuss the next steps and where those resources should go. Now, a spokesperson, Jeff Brooks, tells me that the next 24 hours will be crucial as they continue to monitor the forecast. But what we do know is that high winds will be a major concern. Because this is such a widespread and statewide weather event, deciding where to position those crews ahead of time can be difficult. The potential for outages, downed power lines, and trees across the state is also very high. The utility has thousands of line entry workers in the Carolinas and many in the Triangle who work around the clock to get ahead of these major weather events.
They'll be working to make sure our inventories are good, make sure we've got all the supplies we need, make sure the rosters are all set up. That's just part of what we do in every storm. And then in the event that those outages happen, they'll be ready to respond. Again, this is something that unfortunately we've had a lot of experience with.
And he also says that they have some new innovative technology installed across the system that can automatically detect a power outage and can reroute power to other lines to restore service faster. We will learn more about their response once they're able to meet and once we're able to get a better look at how this storm will shape up. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
A man is seriously hurt after a shooting in Northwest Raleigh. Brett Neese is at the scene in the WREL Breaking News Tracker with what we know right now.
Crime scene tape continues to surround this first building here at the View at Lakeland apartment homes. That's where this shooting happened around 10:30 last night. This is video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker giving you a better idea of what that scene looked like shortly after the shooting happened. Police tell us the man who was shot has very serious injuries. However, they did not say whether or not he was taken to the hospital. Around 2:30, I watched as the medical examiner's office showed up here to the scene. So now I'm asking police to give us a clearer understanding of that man's injuries as we work to piece those details together. Police also tell us they are looking for two suspects who, according to witnesses, fled the scene in a car shortly after the shooting happened. I'm asking police if they know who those two people are. I'll stay on top of the story and keep you updated. In Raleigh, Brett Neese, WREL News.
Mebane City Council will hold a public hearing today on a controversial development proposal. Buc-ee's has proposed building a 75,000 square foot facility on 32 acres. Buc-ee's is a massive gas station, restaurant complex found in other parts of the country. Those against the development have concerns about the quality of life and the environment. In December, the Mebane Planning Board voted 3-6 to recommend denying rezoning for the project. Today's City Council meeting starts at 6 in the Glendale Stevenson Municipal Building.
Civil rights leader Reverend William Barber plans to hold a news conference today to announce his next steps in his fight for the rights of people with disabilities. This follows Bishop Barber's removal from the movie The Color Purple at an AMC theater in Greenville, North Carolina last month. Barber has a rare form of arthritis and uses a special chair everywhere he goes. Cell phone video captured the moment he tried to use it in the theater and employees asked him to leave. Reverend Barber recently met with AMC's CEO, but he says the focus remains on the broader issue of ensuring equal treatment for all people with disabilities.
Coming up, it was a tough season for the Carolina Panthers, but it's finally come to an end. Up next, why the team is looking forward to a better season for 2024.
And here this morning, we have a level 2 and 3 risk for severe storms tomorrow. It's a WREL weather alert day, and I'll walk you through everything to expect from the beginning to the end of the day coming up.
And at 8:11 right now on your Monday morning, a live look from Clinton. Good morning to you as you watch WREL News, available on Hulu and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. No matter where you are, you won't be able to escape what is on the way. Elizabeth Gardner in the WREL Severe Weather Center with what's ahead.
Tomorrow's a WREL Weather Alert Day. Big potent system coming our way. Wind is likely to be the biggest issue. A wind advisory was posted this morning, so that's new today. Gusts up to 45 miles per hour. We'll see average rainfall totals around 2 inches, but but in some places it could be as much as 3. That could set some daily records. And then our severe weather threat is a level 2 and 3 now. The bump up to level 3 also happened early this morning. Here's a look at our system right now. There will be some winter weather with it, but none of that in our viewing area. What we'll see is the thunderstorms, and they're starting to become a little stronger now over the last couple of hours. Best chance for severe storms will be along the Gulf Coast today, but then all the way up to our part of North Carolina tomorrow. So damaging winds, a few tornadoes. As a matter of fact, you get into this level 3 risk, and it's a much better chance of tornadoes. A level 2 risk in the Triangle, it's level 1 up near the Virginia line. So what's the difference? What makes it a level 3 risk? The storms will be more frequent, more widespread, and oftentimes in a line. And that line of thunderstorms, when it comes through, means that it's going to affect everyone. Most likely, the storms will be a little stronger in our central and southern counties, but widespread wind damage is certainly a possibility. Damaging wind, hail, and tornadoes are level 3 threats. Damaging wind and tornadoes would be our biggest threats. Hail in this situation is probably unlikely. Wind advisory will go into effect tomorrow at 10 a.m. That's new this morning as well. We'll see steady winds out of the south up to 25 miles per hour, gusting to 45. That could cause some minor power outages, as we could see a few large limbs down. We'll take a look at our wind speeds. By 10 a.m. tomorrow, it's about 25 to 30. It continues to climb 30 to 35 to 40. Once we get into the afternoon, there's 3 o'clock, 42 in Raleigh, 37 Goldsboro and Clinton. When those thunderstorms start to move through, that's when those numbers really start to climb, 40 to 45, maybe even 50 to 60. Notice that 72 there in Clinton. That's a reflection of the line of thunderstorms coming through. So that shows you how strong those winds may be inside those storms, especially if we end up with some straight line winds or tornadoes. So we're looking at scattered power outages with this system, and that will increase as we go through the day into the evening. We take a look at Futurecast, and we're going to start with some showers between 5 and 6 a.m. So this will be something that affects our morning commute. It'll be breezy, but we start to see increasing impacts through the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, some thunderstorms begin to pop up, and then we have our line of storms starting to approach us at about 5 p.m. But during the evening commute, it stays to our west. By 7, though, we're looking at Southern Pines, Durham to Roxborough. By 8:30, South Hill to Clinton, and then along and east of I-95, closer to 10 p.m. So this will be a dinner time into the late evening sort of event as it comes through our area, and then it moves on out. 2 to 3 inches of rain, but a lot of us will see closer to 2 inches. That means some minor, maybe street flooding, places that tend to flood fairly quickly and easily where you live. You know where those are. That's likely to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a mild day for us with a high of 66 for our WRL weather alert day, but increasing chances for damaging wind and some power outages through the day. It's quiet until Friday, late Friday into early Saturday. We'll see another round of rain. Brian?
It is 8:15 right now. I want to update you about this crash that we're following in Orange County on 85 northbound right there at the I-40 split. Some heavy delays as you head in from Eflin back toward Hillsboro this morning. So measuring that ride on 40 eastbound or 85 northbound between Mebane there at the Alamance Orange County line through Eflin out toward Hillsboro. It's about a 24-minute backup, so 24 minutes longer than it usually takes. Consider using 70 as a good alternate route this morning to avoid a lot of the congestion that you're seeing there. Let's take you to South Raleigh for an update with that crash we're watching on I-40 westbound right around Gorman Street. Raleigh police now on the scene of that minor crash there in the median. It looks like the other crashes we've been tracking on 40 westbound have cleared in the past few minutes, and certainly it's looking a lot better on that sensor reading. About a 6-minute delay overall from 440 out toward the US 1 interchange. As we zoom in there, you can see if you can pick up 40 westbound from Gorman Street, you're on the other side of those backups. But getting there could be a little tough on westbound Tryon Road this morning. We've got backups from right around the Lake Wheeler Road area all the way out toward Gorman Street. Let's take a look at those major approaches into Raleigh right now. Still looking at a 7-minute delay coming in from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard. About a 3-minute delay on US 1 northbound, leaving Apex heading through Cary. Looking pretty good in Durham overall with no big problems showing up on major routes. Of course, we're have another traffic update coming up in a few minutes. And if you're getting ready to head out in the car, listen to us on the radio as our live newscast continues there.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Starting today, Cape Fear Valley Health Facilities will lower the minimum age requirement for visitation from 16 to 12 in most areas. The health system will also begin requiring masks in the waiting rooms of express care locations. Visitors will be asked to wear a mask if the patient they're visiting is experiencing respiratory illness. Visitation to patients with respiratory illness will also be limited to one person at a time.
Today, we'll get a better idea of Mayor Leonardo Williams' plans for the city of Durham as he hosts a news conference at noon at City Hall to announce his key objectives for the city. He'll have updates, and we'll have updates on what those are in our newscast beginning at noon. Fayetteville Road will be closed for the next 2 months for maintenance on a dam damaged by Hurricane Matthew more than 7 years ago. McFadden Drive will be closed until March 8th for work on the Devon Wood Lower Dam. The city was working to stabilize that dam since it was damaged by the hurricane in 2016. And this latest work will be to install a chimney drain and clear vegetation around it. Alternate routes are posted.
After hundreds of flight cancellations created headaches over the weekend, the friendly skies may still not be so inviting, with Boeing 737 MAX 9 planes still grounded across the country over mandatory safety inspections. Jackie Ibanez explains how it's affecting Alaska and United Airlines.
To ensure safety in the sky, the Federal Aviation Administration has ordered the temporary grounding of Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft across the country. This, as the investigation into a troubled Alaska Airlines plane continues, after a piece of the craft's fuselage called a door plug blew out mid-flight, leaving a massive hole in the side of the plane shortly after it took off from Oregon Friday night.
We just request airport declared emergency. We need to descend down to 10,000.
No passengers and crew seriously injured, and the Alaska Airlines flight safely made it back to Portland International Airport. Still, the National Transportation Safety Board is examining what could have caused the deactivated emergency door to blow out, especially since this plane just went into service back in November.
Was it structural failure of the plug itself, or was it not latched properly? This airplane was only 3 months out of the factory.
This was a near-death experience for many of the passengers.
The FAA says the Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft will stay grounded until the agency is, quote, satisfied that they are safe. It's causing headaches heading into this week for many passengers looking to fly on Alaska and United Airlines, whose fleets are comprised of some of these planes.
Well, it's frustrating, but I mean, it's better they cancel it for safety instead of let it happen again.
So scary. That was Jackie Ibanez reporting. The missing door plug was found Sunday by a Portland area teacher in his backyard, and it could help investigators get a better idea of how this accident happened.
And happening now in the WRA Live Center, Pope Francis giving his State of the World address to the diplomatic corps that's accredited by the Holy See. The pontiff reflected on the conflicts and the divisions ravaging the world. He mentioned the war in Ukraine, also the Israeli-Hamas conflict. He also highlighted the responsibility of individuals and nations to foster peace. Now, he called for an immediate ceasefire, the release of hostages, and access to humanitarian aid for the Palestinian people. He also reiterated his support for his two-state solution, as well as an internationally guaranteed special status for the city of Jerusalem. This is his way of aiming at a lasting peace and security for that region.
The first U.S. lunar landing mission in more than 50 years is now on its way to the moon.
And liftoff of the first United Launch Alliance Vulcan rocket, launching a new era in spaceflight to the moon and beyond.
It's an unmanned rocket launched from Cape Canaveral just after 2 this morning. About an hour later, it sent its lunar lander called Peregrine toward the moon. And if all goes according to plan, that lander is set to touch down on the moon February 23rd. The lander is carrying NASA science instruments and other cargo, including human remains, on behalf of 2 commercial space burial companies. Pretty normal for gym traffic to surge in the weeks following the new year, but if you're already skipping your workouts, Ted Linder has a look at how legalized marijuana could help you stay motivated.
While getting into shape is many people's top resolution for the new year, finding the energy to hit the gym can be a challenge. But new research from the University of Colorado Boulder finds cannabis use before physical activity could have some positive effects on your fitness journey.
Cannabis users exercise more than non-users. They're more likely to meet physical activity recommendations. They're less likely to have type 2 diabetes. They have lower body mass index. And so it actually looks like cannabis and exercise might go together.
With recreational marijuana legal in 24 states and in Washington, D.C., scientists were curious about how the drug, associated with lower levels of motivation, was affecting people's incentive to exercise.
Actually, what we're finding is, like I mentioned, people who are fairly regular cannabis users both exercise more generally, but also exercise while they're under the influence of cannabis.
In the study, researchers had 42 volunteers with prior experience running while under the influence jog for 30 minutes on a treadmill while answering questions. Participants first ran sober and then repeated the test after using marijuana.
People said that it helped them to enjoy their physical activity more. Counterintuitively, it helped them feel more motivated to exercise. It decreased pain during exercise.
While cannabis didn't enhance a person's athletic performance, researchers say nearly 60% of participants said it increased their focus, and roughly 45% said it made their workouts go by faster.
That's Ted Lindner reporting. Because cannabis can lead to dizziness and affect your balance, researchers urge caution if you're working out under the influence.
It's time to look ahead to the next season for the Carolina Panthers and their fans. They lost 9-0 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their season finale at Bank of America Stadium. The Panthers finished the season with a 2-15 record, getting shut out in each of their last two games. As for the Bucs, they clinched the NFC South with a win, and they'll play Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs. Coming up, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in North Carolina this week. Details on her stop coming up.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Monday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. We are dealing with a number of traffic incidents on the road. Brian Schrader has the latest in Hillsboro, Brian.
The biggest delay that we're following right now in the triangle is on 40 eastbound or 85 northbound coming out of the Mebane area through Eflin back toward Hillsboro. There's a crash reported right there at the 85-40 split, and we're seeing a 23-minute delay on that trip from Mebane out toward Hillsboro. Consider using 70 as a good alternate route this morning. That should save you at least a little bit of time. Taking a look around the rest of the triangle, look out for a crash on 70 Business westbound right around Juergen Road and Garner, seeing a little bit of a delay coming in from Bandura Springs Road.
Tomorrow's a WRAL weather alert day. Today's nice and quiet, but we have a wind advisory that's new this morning. Gusts tomorrow up to 45 miles per hour. Could see 2 to 3 inches of rain and a severe level 2 and 3 threat. That level 3 threat is a bump up from what we saw yesterday. But let's take a look at right now. We do have some cloud cover that's starting to build across the area. Live look at Apex, just a little high thin cloud cover there. 33 Fayetteville, 30 in Tarboro, it's 33 in Goldsboro, 25 in Southern Pines. So temperatures are pretty close to freezing as you're stepping out the door this morning. So it's a little chilly when you're walking the dog. But this afternoon, temperatures will climb into the low 50s. We'll see variably cloudy skies and it stays cool.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Police are looking to make an arrest after a shooting that left a man seriously hurt in Raleigh. Officers found a man with serious gunshot wounds on Cumberland Creek Road Sunday. Two suspects are reported to have fled the scene. No suspects are in custody at this time. And tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day. Duke Energy crew is preparing for strong winds and potential for power outages. They have a new tool installed across their system that can detect a power outage and can reroute power to other lines to restore service. Next on Fox 50, a public meeting tonight where you can voice your opinion about the future of a proposed Buc-ee's in Mebane.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tomorrow's a WRAL weather alert day and two updates. We have a level 3 risk for severe storms now in our southeastern counties and a wind advisory for much of the day. I'll show you what to expect where you are.
Breaking at 8:30, we have a crash over in Orange County, creating some pretty big delays as you head into Hillsboro. I'll talk about the best alternate route to save you some time.
Duke Energy is preparing for the potential of power outages with the severe weather coming Tuesday. Just ahead, I'll explain how officials say they are getting crews ready for this storm.
And the NFL playoffs are all set. We have everything you need to know about the teams that are moving on this time of year and some of the NFL coaches on Black Monday, as it's known, moving out for certain. We'll have an update for you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us on your Monday. We've got you covered. Tomorrow is the WRAL Weather Alert Day. So, of course, we have to start with Elizabeth showing us who's under that level 1, 2, and 3 risk.
So brand new this morning, we have the Triangle area now in level 2 and our southeastern counties now in level 3. That just means that the chances of tornadoes or wind damage is greater now than it was even yesterday. Still level 1 in our northwestern counties. I'm going to walk you through the timeline. Another addition this morning, a wind advisory. That begins at 10 a.m. tomorrow. We could see gusts up to 45 miles per hour. That could cause some minor power outages. We could see some larger limbs falling, especially as we get into the afternoon. We'll wake up tomorrow morning to cloudy skies, and we'll start to see some showers rolling in by about 6 a.m. So it looks like it's going to be a wet commute tomorrow. It'll be breezy in the morning, but the winds really pick up during the afternoon. There's lunchtime. By the time we get to 2 or 3 o'clock, we may see some scattered storms. Winds will start to gust up to around 40, 45 miles per hour at that point. But what we're really watching is this line of thunderstorms, this squall line. You can see the darker red colors there. At 5 o'clock, that's just to our west, moving through Greensboro down towards Charlotte. It moves into our viewing area between 6 and 7 in our western counties, between, say, 7 and 8, right through the middle of the viewing area, and then between 9 and 10, it's on the eastern edge, and then gradually moving out. So sometime between 6 and 10 will be the most active time where we'll have the most likely chance for some strong to severe storms that could produce some damage. Right now, heading out the door, it's a little cloudy out there. We've seen increasing high clouds this morning. 34 is our current temperature at RDU, but it's a chilly start. Mostly temperatures in the 20s and 30s, 25 in Southern Pines, 32 Rocky Mount and South Hills, 33 right now in Fayetteville. Hour by hour, we're in the 40s at lunchtime and low 50s this afternoon, but there will be a little bit of a wind chill. I'll show you hour by hour how it'll feel through the day. Coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, breaking news here at 8:32. You need to avoid using 40 eastbound, heading out of Mebane back toward Hillsboro if you can this morning. We have a crash as you get right to that 85 I-40 split. And some new information in the past couple of minutes. It looks like the right shoulder is blocked, and that's enough to create some big problems there. According to sensors, that overall trip on 40 eastbound from Mebane through Eflin out toward Hillsboro is taking about 28 extra minutes, so about a half hour delay to make that ride. Consider using 70 as a good alternate route. That should save you about 20 minutes this morning as you get out of the western side of Orange County back toward Hillsboro. Let's take a look at some of the other problems we are following right now around the Triangle. Just in the past couple of minutes, a report of a crash with injuries in Cary on Kildare Farm Road at Farmington Woods Drive. That is north of Cary Parkway. And we're seeing some pretty heavy delays, especially on that northbound side of Kildare Farm Road. Also still tracking a little bit of a backup on the south side of Raleigh on 40 westbound. We had an earlier crash around Gorman Street. As we take a look at that camera now, that crash is cleared, but again, a lingering delay through there, about an 8-minute backup overall from 440 out to US 1. If you can pick up 40 westbound from Gorman Street, you can see it's busy, but it's still flowing pretty well out toward US 1.
Duke Energy crews are busy getting ready for strong winds tomorrow that could cause some power outages. WRL's Laura Levine explains what utility crews are doing to get ahead of the storm.
Officials with Duke Energy plan to meet here throughout the day with their storm team as they discuss the next steps and where those resources should go. Now, a spokesperson, Jeff Brooks, tells me that the next 24 hours will be crucial as they continue to monitor the forecast. But what we do know is that high winds will be a major concern. Because this is such a widespread and statewide weather event, deciding where to position those crews ahead of time can be difficult. The potential for outages, downed power lines, and trees across the state is also very high. The utility has thousands of line entry workers in the Carolinas and many in the Triangle who work around the clock to get ahead of these major weather events.
They'll be working to make sure our inventories are good, make sure we've got all the supplies we need, make sure the rosters are all set up. That's just part of what we do in every storm. And then in the event that those outages happen, they'll be ready to respond. Again, this is something that unfortunately we've had a lot of experience with.
And he also says that they have some new innovative technology installed across the system that can automatically detect a power outage and can reroute power to other lines to restore service faster. We will learn more about their response once they're able to meet and once we're able to get a better look at how this storm will shape up. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
And police are working to make an arrest after a shooting that left a man with serious injuries in Northwest Raleigh. It happened Sunday night at an apartment complex on Cumberland Creek Road off Ray Road. Officers found the man with serious gunshot wounds. Two suspects are reported to have fled the scene in a car. No suspects are in custody at this time.
Today, you can offer your thoughts about plans for a new Buc-ee's store near the Triangle. This would be the first Buc-ee's in North Carolina. WRL's Kelsey Confey has more on how the plans for this mega gas station are dividing people who live near the proposed development.
This area may not look like much now, just an empty field, but this is 32 acres of land that could become the home of North Carolina's first Buc-ee's, and not everyone is happy about it. This is a look at protesters last week. A group created a petition with more than 1,000 signatures, all against the new development. Some protesters are worried about pollution and other environmental concerns, but a lot of folks are in favor of a new Buc-ee's. In just 1 week, more than 800 people signed a petition to support the project. Shalina Seeley rounded up all those signatures. She says she believes the company can handle issues like minimizing traffic. You can also weigh in at tonight's Mevin City Council meeting. The City Council is asking for public comment. This comes after the planning board denied the proposal, and that meeting is scheduled for tonight at 6 o'clock. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Mevin.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, Wall Street expected to open in the red this morning to start the trading week, ending a 9-week winning streak on Friday. Let's take a look at the big board this morning. You can see Dow futures off more than 100 points. The S&P, NASDAQ futures in the green after being in the red for most of the morning. Analysts say Boeing's MAX jet troubles continue to be a drag on the markets, particularly the Dow. Also this week, we expect two key inflation reports. We'll have the opening numbers in Money Matters in a 9 o'clock hour right here on Fox 50.
All right, thanks, Ken. And tonight, a new college football champion will be crowned. Michigan will play Washington in the championship game at NRG Stadium in Houston. The Wolverines and Huskies are both 14-0 on the season after getting thrilling wins in the semifinal games last week. Washington is looking for its first national title since 1991. Michigan last won it in 97.
Buffalo Bills are champions of the AFC East once again. The Bills knocked off the Miami Dolphins in the final game of the NFL regular season last night on WRAL. Buffalo came back. They were down 14-7 in the fourth quarter. Got some good special teams play. They took a 21-14 win in this, and the Bills' fifth win in a row to end the season, leapfrogging over the Dolphins for the division title. So now the Bills will host Pittsburgh in the first round of the playoffs. The Dolphins get in as a wild card. They'll play Kansas City in the opening round.
And you can catch the start of the NFL playoffs this weekend on WREL and Fox 50. At 4:30 on Saturday, the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans on WREL. And at 4:30 on Sunday, the Green Bay Packers, they'll travel to Dallas to play the Cowboys on Fox 50. And at 8 o'clock Sunday night, the Detroit Lions host the LA Rams on WREL. Coming up, 2024 award season kicked off last night. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner, they'll join us live with a look at the highlights from the Golden Globes Awards.
And as we head to break, we'll give you this live look. Fenton and Carrie from the WRL Live Cam Network ahead of tomorrow's WRL Weather Alert Day.
Welcome back and happy Monday. Live look over Fayetteville this morning. You see some sun behind the clouds there. Tomorrow is a WRL Weather Alert Day. That is the day to watch. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner timing everything out for us.
And we started watching this one last week. It looked like it was going to be a serious situation. And now we're just a day out. It is a WRL Weather Alert Day. This morning, the Weather Service issued a wind advisory for tomorrow for gusts up to 45 miles per hour. We could see averages of 2 inches, maybe even some spots with as much as 3. And then our severe weather threat today went up from a level 2 to a level 3 in our southern counties and from a level 1 to a level 2 in the triangle. So all that bumped up. Here's a look at where the system is right now. There'll be some snow with this, but on the north end of it, nowhere close to us. We do have a lot of thunder and lightning that's developing along the leading edge of the system, and that's what will arrive here tomorrow. You can see the level 3 risk of severe storms here. That's where we'd have a better chance of tornadoes, but a few isolated tornadoes could be in the triangle area, and we have a lesser chance of that north and west in the level 1 risk. So I'm definitely looking at a serious situation for tomorrow. The reason the wind advisory was issued is we're more likely to have those severe thunderstorms during the evening, but the winds will begin to pick up ahead of that. So we'll see south winds during the day, 15 to 25, gusting to 45, especially as we get closer to lunchtime. Those gusts will start to pick up. So this begins at 10 a.m. and lasts until 10 p.m. And that's about the time that the whole event will start to move out of the area. We'll start off with rain early in the morning. We're going to see showers across the viewing area moving in between 5 and 6 a.m. So this will be an issue for the morning commute. It'll be breezy. It'll be wet on and off. But we're less likely to see severe weather until the afternoon. So anytime after lunchtime, we begin to see some of these storms filling in. Around around 3 o'clock. But it's this line, it's the squall line, that dark red line. At 5 o'clock, that's moving from Greensboro down towards Charlotte. By 7 o'clock, it's in the western part of our viewing area from Roxburgh to Durham to Southern Pines. By 8 o'clock, it's moving through Raleigh, down through Fayetteville, Clinton, and up towards South Hill. And then finally by 10 p.m., we're looking at it starting to exit the viewing area. And after that, the severe wet threat should be over. But a lot of issues here. We have strong winds. We have the potential for some heavy rain. Most likely will average around 2 inches, but some folks could see up to 3 inches. Those numbers could break daily records. But we've had rainfall at 2+ inches that hasn't caused a lot of problems. There could be some localized flooding. It's possible that some of the rivers downstream along the Neuse River may flood along the Greenway in places. That would happen later in the week. Heading out the door right now, we're looking at high thin cloud cover, a little sun trying to peek through. It's chilly out there, 34 in the Triangle area. Currently, our temperatures are anywhere from the mid-20s to mid-30s, so it's a cold start for us this morning. And we're running 10 to 15 degrees colder than we were this time yesterday. Afternoon high 51 in Raleigh, 50 in Durham, 52 in Fayetteville, but a little bit of a wind chill today will make it feel like low 40s at lunchtime and mid-40s during the afternoon. Again, tomorrow's our WREL weather alert day. It'll be a warm day, 66. It's going to feel like one of those days that we could have severe storms. It feels like January after that, and we have a small chance for some showers late Friday into Saturday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Rescue workers saved a woman in her 90s more than 5 days after a powerful earthquake struck Japan. She was found in a collapsed house following that 7.6 magnitude earthquake that hit on New Year's Day. According to government officials, 126 people have been confirmed dead. More than 200 are still missing.
Some St. Augustine's University students are left stranded after the university announced the first 2 weeks of classes this semester will be virtual. An email was sent to students just days before in-person classes were supposed to start. In that email, the interim president said the university would be going virtual to make sure dorms and classrooms are in good condition. The interim president wrote that the university will find students a place to stay if they check in this week. Classes will return to in-person January 22nd, and students can return to campus starting on the 19th. Well, the Hollywood awards season officially underway. It kicked off with the 81st Golden Globe Awards.
Yeah, the revamped ceremony handed out honors in TV and film. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner are here with all the big moments, the glitz, the glamour. Guys, Hollywood almost, it looked like normal once again. Back with the awards starting, huh? All right, I'm wondering if they can hear us right now. Kevin, Nichelle?
Got us.
You guys hear us?
Oh, it doesn't look like they can hear us, but they were talking about Brie Larson meeting J-Lo. She had a total fangirl moment. Brie Larson did anyway. She cried when she met J-Lo. She said, "It's been a dream of mine to meet you." And it was a magical moment for both of them. Amazing.
Tons going on.
All right, moving on now. Vice President Kamala Harris will be in North Carolina this week. Vice President Harris will be in Charlotte this Thursday. She'll talk about how to reduce gun violence in America. And Harris will be joined with educators, counselors, and parents. This will be Vice President Harris's 9th trip to North Carolina since being sworn in.
Tonight, Durham City Council will interview 4 people who've been nominated to fill the seat vacated by new Mayor Leonardo Williams. Amanda Borer, Chelsea Cook, Sheila Huggins, Chastin Wayne will be considered to fill the seat. Council members will interview them in a question and answer format for about 30 minutes. Council plans to make its selection during another special meeting next Tuesday.
And Greensboro continues to mourn the loss of Sergeant Dale Nix, the off-duty police officer shot and killed last weekend. One man is creating a memorial of lights for him. Dave Masters has made sure his house shines blue, spreading a message of support for police officers. He says he wants to remind the community of all that first responders do for us. He's also hoping that Nix's family will see that his decades of service will not be forgotten. And Masters says it's a way to build up the community, which he just moved into. Masters says he has 3 kids and hopes to set an example for them about how to support and unite the community.
We have a traffic alert for drivers in Clayton starting tomorrow. Central Street between Main Street and Front Street will close from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. This is so the railroad can change out a rail crossing, and drivers should use the detour on North Church Street.
All right, let's try this one again. Hollywood Awards season underway last night with the 81st Golden Globe Awards.
Yes, here we have just straight off the glitz and glamour that was almost normal looking Hollywood last night. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Yeah, I don't know if either of us have slept much, but that's okay because this is like our Super Bowl for a month.
I saw you close your eyes for about 7 seconds.
Actually, I took a disco nap like 20 minutes ago. Yes, I did. Absolutely. Great night, Kevin. Some incredible moments on the red carpet.
It was an amazing night to bring Hollywood back together, and this is Hollywood's party of the year. And one of our favorite moments was I was talking to Brie Larson. And J-Lo arrived. And Brie was telling me, what a night it is. I just saw Oprah. And then I said, well, look, Jennifer Lopez is right behind you. And then her reaction was just pure gold.
Jennifer
oh, my God.
Lopez. Jennifer,
oh my.
I know. It's Jennifer Lopez. I know. It's J-Lo.
I can't deal with J-Lo. I can't. I'm going to cry. You this mean is... so much to me.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, my God.
I'm such a huge fan.
I saw Selena, and it made me want to be an actor, and you've always meant so much to me.
Oh, my God, don't make me cry.
It's been a dream of mine, so thank you so much. Your work ethic is so important. Thank you. I've been wanting to say that to you for a long time, so I'm really, I did not think it was going to be right now. Okay, I'm going to have to go do a shot of tequila. So.
So, I mean, I honestly, at that moment, I was like, wow, she really does have so much love for J-Lo.
Yeah.
And I mean, we all get teary-eyed when we see J-Lo. She's so beautiful, just stunning. When you see J-Lo, you're like, whoa.
Yeah. But I think that what it meant to her was being able to tell her idol or the person that, you know, sparked this in her, thank you, which...
Yes.
That is such a great moment. That is such an amazing moment to capture.
It really is.
It really, really is.
You know, the other thing we had to address is Oprah was there, as I just mentioned. And, you know, besides supporting The Color Purple, there's been all this talk about a feud between Oprah and Taraji P. Henson. Mm-hmm. And I asked Oprah about that.
I heard I was trending yesterday because people are saying that I was not supporting Taraji. Taraji will tell you herself that I've been the greatest champion of this film, championing not only the behind-the-scenes production, but also everything that everybody needed. So there was something online about us being separated at the top of the Empire State Building. On that particular day, we were so cold. So I don't know what kind of body language people were talking about. I was like just trying to stay warm. There's no validity to there being a thing between Taraji and I.
I like that. Yeah. I like that she addresses it head on. And we know Oprah is a champion of any project that she does, and especially 100%. A champion of women.
Yes, 100%. So much, Jeff and Michelle. So much to get to today.
Yeah, I mean, that's just scratching the surface of what you guys took in. But we certainly appreciate it. Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner, thank you guys so much for being with us.
Sure.
All right, well, here's Ashley Dvorkin with a preview of what's on Fox this week.
This is incredible.
Gordon Ramsay's Taste for Travel, game show contestants playing for life-changing money. Here's what's hot on Fox.
The attack of the drones.
Monday starts with encores of Hell's Kitchen and Celebrity Name That Tune. Tuesday brings a new episode of Name That Tune with more stars playing for charity.
Let's begin the duel.
That's followed by The Floor, hosted by Rob Lowe, with 81 contestants on a grid of squares taking on trivia questions for the chance to win $250,000. Wednesday is I Can See Your Voice with host Ken Jeong and 100 grand on the line for players guessing secret voices.
If Masked Singer is where you see me on Fox at my funniest, I Can See Your Voice is where you see me at my most sincere, because I really want that contestant to win.
After that, more singers reveal their famous relatives on We Are Family, hosted by Anthony Anderson alongside his mom, Doris.
The family members, they sing a solo. A song, and then they sing a duet with their famous relative that's hidden inside a sphere, and it's up to our studio audience to guess who this famous person is. They get to play for their chance.
And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now. We will get another check on weather and traffic next.